The following program is paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I hope you had a wonderful Christmas, and I hope you're ready to start the new year, which is not very far away. It's been a great honor to be speaking to you this morning. Thank you for all 50 states tuning in. What a great privilege it is for me to bring you the Word of God every Sunday morning through this radio network. Today we're going to talk about the wonderful thing called peace, the wonderful peace that God gives to us as we go through the next coming year. In Luke 2:14, the Bible gives these words, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men." I don't know if you remember who said that, but they were spoken by the commander of the angelic army, an elect angel known as the King of Arms. And they were spoken that night that Mary gave birth to Jesus, the God-man. Yes, Jesus Christ was God and man in one body forever, undiminished deity, and true humanity in one body forever. Paul wrote something about that in Philippians 2:8-11, and my very own pastor, Bobby Thiem, taught this recently about how you cannot really appreciate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ until you understand this passage as well in Philippians 2:8-11. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even to the death of the cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and those even under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Yes, glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, and goodwill towards men through Jesus Christ. This birth of the Lord Jesus Christ is the single most important event in the history of the world. It's the one thing that guarantees the resolution of the angelic conflict, and it guarantees peace between God and man. The Apostle Peter stated that the word peace we can have starts with what? In 2 Peter 1:2, listen carefully, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord." This peace can be yours today through a relationship with Christ Jesus. In Philippians 4:7, Paul wrote, "And the peace of God, which is beyond human comprehension, will guard you in your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus." It is a phenomenal way to live. It's a phenomenal asset believers have, peace with God, eternal peace with God, knowing that you're going to heaven and peace with God in time. Jesus Christ himself said this, as it's recorded in John 16:33, when he spoke to the disciples. He said, "These things I spoke to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation." Yes, there will be conflict. "But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." The amazing thing about what he said is he does not guarantee you a life free of conflict. Our Lord does not guarantee you a life free of conflict. Do you hear that? But he does assure you that you can maintain a relaxed mental attitude in spite of the circumstances. In spite of what you may be going through, you can have peace if you use God's wonderful problem-solving devices. We teach that as a flatline. We're going to show you where that's important in your life in this study this morning. So in John 14:27, here's what he told the disciples. The Lord said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you." In other words, I'm not going to take it back like the world would do. "Let not your hearts be troubled, nor be afraid." Now this is indicative of what our Lord was feeling and what he was going through. The same peace he had, the same relaxed mental attitude he had, the same trust he had, the same faith he had, he passed it on to the disciples so they could live like he lived. And that's the prototype Christian life. That's the Lord Jesus Christ showing us how to live. No one in the Old Testament had a life like this. You have the most unique life in the history of the world. You have the Christian life, pioneered by our Lord Jesus Christ while he was a man, lived by our Lord Jesus Christ as a man. Never once did he depend on his deity to spare him, Never once did he depend on his deity to sustain him. And he always had peace, and he leaves that with us. We can have that same peace. He spoke these words to his disciples in order to prepare them for what was coming once he was crucified, resurrected, and ascended back to heaven. So as we approach the year 2025, we need to remember these things because there's no doubt national and international conflict is coming. You can bank on that. Even today, there's terror across America as hundreds of drones are seen flying over homes and airports, as well as military institutions, and no apparent explanation from our government concerning what they are, or where they belong, where they came from, or who they belong to. And the shift in political leadership is going to cause great concern for thousands of individuals who despise the new president and his agenda. There will be no peace for any Christian who does not understand that Jesus Christ controls history. You must understand that if you want to have peace. Because the greatest comfort and peace of the child of God is to know and understand God's unique plan for his life. To know and understand God's purpose for his life, the purpose for your existence, and to know that you have not been left alone to fight it out in the devil's world by yourself. So, can I ask you a question this morning? Do you have peace today? Do you have peace today? Let's start with this one. Are you certain that if your life ended today, that you would go to heaven? Do you know that for sure? Are you positive about that? You can know it. There's no reason you shouldn't know it because the Bible is very clear about it. You can know it for sure according to the Scriptures. And I have people that write to me and say, you can't know that for sure. Yes, you can. 1 John 5:13, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, in order that, or so that, the purpose clause in the New Testament, in order that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe or trust in the name of the Son of God. You see, as a child of God, you're guaranteed his daily care and his daily provision. Not only are you given eternal life, not only can you let your mind be at rest because if something were to happen, you will be in heaven. There is no doubt about that if you put your faith in Jesus Christ. And as a child of God, you're also guaranteed daily provision and daily care. In Matthew 6:25-27, I'll read it to you. Jesus said, "For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life, as to what you will eat, or what you will drink, or what you will wear on your body, as to what you put on it. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds in the sky. They don't sow, they don't reap, neither do they gather crops into the barn, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more important than a bird? And which of you, by worrying, can add a single day to his lifespan? So don't worry. Don't be worried." See, that's a lack of peace. If you're worried about making it in the devil's world, if you're worried about surviving, if you're worried about how am I going to get along, I'm not making enough money, don't worry. Your Lord knows what you're going through. He's not going to strand you. He's not going to throw you under the bus. He will make sure you have everything you need to live your life comfortably, I promise. Maybe not the way you want to live it. Maybe you want to be a millionaire, and that might not be in the plan for you. But he will not abandon you. You don't have to worry about your clothing. You don't have to worry about what you're going to eat. You are much more important than a simple bird, and he loves you. So relax. Don't be worried. You should have peace about his daily care and his daily provision for you. How do I know that? Because Psalm 55:22 tells me, "Cast your burdens upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken." So all you got to do is go to the Father. Hopefully you will do that. When you have a situation in your life that you don't understand, when you have a situation in your life that's a conflict, take it to the Lord, and he will deliver you through it. He doesn't say he'll make it go away. He says he will sustain you through it. And he will never allow the righteous, that's you, righteousness of Christ given to you, to be shaken. What does that mean? You don't have any righteousness. There are none that are righteous. No, not one, the Bible says. All of our righteousness is like a filthy rag in God's eyes. So I don't care how good you are, that's not going to get you to heaven. Because the Bible says, he that knew no sin was made sin for us, so that we may be made the righteousness of God through him. The righteousness spoken of in Psalm 55:22 is the uniqueness of the Lord Jesus Christ, his righteousness given to you. He who knew no sin was made sin. It was a trade-out deal. He took your sin, he gives you his righteousness. And you cannot be shaken, according to Psalm 55:22. What a wonderful subject to consider as we enter into the 2025. That word peace that you hear me talking about, I've quoted it a bunch of times now, is the Greek word eirene. And it simply means harmony, security, safety. Our Lord told the disciples that it was possible to have a complete relaxed mental attitude in spite of the difficulty they were going to face. Difficulties like the threat of death, animosity and hatred from the religious crowd, and yet there was still a peace they could have. My peace I leave with you, John 14:27. My peace I give to you. If you're not at peace today, something's wrong. Either you don't understand the plan of God or you're not living the plan of God. Now, let me tell you something. That doesn't mean you won't have a conflict. In Matthew 10:34, Jesus said these words, "Don't think I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be those of his own household." It's a shame. If you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, your whole family could turn on you. If you get serious about growing spiritually and learning the Word of God, your whole family could laugh at you and think you're a nut, think you've gone over the hill, you've gone crazy. Why are you doing all this Bible study? Why are you doing all this praying? What's wrong with you? And your own family will fight you. Jesus Christ, our Lord, said that. When you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and when you fit into the plan of God, your family might not consider that. They may think you've gone crazy. They may want to have you committed. I've got a dear friend of mine who says her family's just like this. She loves the Word of God. She studies the Word of God, but her family doesn't understand that. And it may happen to you. So our Lord made it clear in this particular passage that some who followed him would be hated by their own family members. Why? Because that's the cost of true discipleship. In Matthew 10:37, again, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." And so the priority in your life, the priority in my life, is first of all to love God with all my heart, to love his word, to love his plan, to have peace and prosperity through his plan, to trust him, to be comfortable with what he's got for me, and to put my faith in him. So if we put this down on paper, who do you love first? Personal love for God is what motivates you to obey God. "If you love me, you'll obey me," God said, "and my mandates are not hard, they're not grievous," 1 John 5:3. So there it is. Do you love your father, your mother more than him? Then you're not worthy of him. "And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." He wants to be first in your life. He wants to be priority number one in your life. That's the only way you're ever going to have the peace that you're looking for. Personal love for our Lord Jesus Christ will come with a cost. I promise you. You can ask the martyred disciples that when you meet them in heaven, because all of them were martyred for their personal love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And many of them were married. Many of them had children. And yet they gave their life to follow Christ. And that may happen to us someday. We don't really know what's going to take place in the future. We have great hope and great confidence that whoever's the leader of this country will keep us safe and allow us to continue to worship in privacy. But who never knows? We don't ever know. But when you commit your life to follow Christ, there's going to be conflict in the middle of a storm. But you and I, we can have peace. How? Because we know we're in the center of God's will. We're right in the center of the will of God. Here, listen, the promise of peace does not mean the absence of conflict. Do you hear that? The promise of peace from God does not mean the absence of conflict. That's why you have a flatline in your soul, to stop the outside source of adversity from becoming the inside source of stress. Having stress like worry and fear is not having peace. That's the absence of peace. In Colossians 3:15, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your heart. What does that mean? Well, your heart is your mind. You have two parts of your brain up there. You have, the Greeks called one of them the nous, N-O-U-S, the mind. They call the other part the heart, the cardia, K-A-R-D-I-A. And that's not talking about the organ that pumps blood. That's talking about the heart of your soul. And you have to let the Word of God rule in your heart, in the memory center, in your frame of reference, in your vocabulary. And that's where the peace comes from. When you know the Word of God, when you know it and trust it and love Him so much that you can be comfortable with that, then you can have peace. And it comes when you let Christ rule in your heart. After my salvation, I read a book by evangelist Billy Graham entitled Peace with God. Allow me to quote Billy Graham here just for a minute as I read it to you. He said, as we look around, we find there is little personal, domestic, social, economic, or political peace anywhere. Why? Because we all have the seeds of suspicion, of violence, and hatred, and destruction within us. He's talking about the sin nature. That's what he's talking about. Well, the antidote to these sorts of attitudes of suspicion and hatred is found in Isaiah 26:3. Here is the antidote to hatred. Here's the antidote to suspicion. Here's the antidote to violence. Isaiah 26:3. You will keep in perfect peace, there it is, all who trust in you and all whose thoughts are fixed on you. There's the key to peace, the word trust. That's the key. For you and I, the peace we have is built on the foundation of trust. You have to remember this. If you don't trust God, you're never going to have peace. If you don't trust God, you're never going to have peace. So do you trust God this morning, today, not just for your salvation, but do you trust Him with your life, with your very breath, with your very existence? Are you willing to put your trust in His leadership? And you'll find it in the Word of God. Many people go through life never understanding what the will of God is. What is the geographical will of God? Where does God want them to be? What does God want them to think? And what does God want them to do? That's what you have to learn, because that's where the peace comes from. For you and I, the peace we have is built on the foundation of trust. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, 100%. Lean not on your own understanding, that's doubt. If there's any doubt in your life, if there's any confusion in your life, there's no trust. Trust is a foundation for peace. In Isaiah 41:10, fear not, I'm with you. There it is. Don't be dismayed, I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yea, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. So can you trust Him? Yes, you can. Can you depend on Him? Yes, you can. It's just a matter of whether or not you're willing to do it. It's quite obvious that in order to have peace, you must have faith. In other words, do you trust God to do what's best in your particular circumstances? Or do you panic at the first sign of adversity? And here, listen very carefully what I'm about to say now. Do you start asking for prayers to induce God to intervene and change your circumstances? First time something goes wrong, do you get on the internet and start saying, pray for me, brother, pray for me, brother? What do you want me to pray for? Make this go away so I don't have to face it. That's exactly what Paul did in 2 Corinthians 12. He had a thorn in the flesh and he prayed three times earnestly for it to go away, and God kept saying, no, 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 no. Why? Because under adverse circumstances, your faith grows and increases. This is what you sometimes want. You want God to take away the very thing that's going to bless you, the very thing that's going to teach you, the very thing that's going to help you to grow, because you don't like your circumstances. So the first sign of adversity and you start hollering for help, make it go away. All you prayer warriors, pray for me. Pray that it go away. That's pitiful. The faith rest drill is part of the flatline in your soul. Do you understand how that works? If you don't understand the faith rest deal, call me or write to me, and we'll send you the book, Christian Problem Solving. And it will explain the faith rest drill in detail, I promise you. In the Old Testament, faith rest was normal for believers who God used to change history and pave the way for the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't have the spiritual life you have. They didn't have a canon of Scripture. They didn't have the filling of the Holy Spirit. They only had faith, and that's what God trusted them with. Let's see what kind of faith you have. You know, Moses at the Red Sea in Exodus 14 is a good illustration. Pharaoh's army, hot in pursuit, going to kill him, mad because they left Egypt. Listen to what Moses told the frightened Jews as they tried to escape the Egyptian captivity. In Exodus 14:13, Moses said to the people, "Don't be afraid." Well, what does that mean? There was no peace. There was no trust. There was no faith. They were afraid. Don't be afraid. Stand still. Quit being nervous. Quit getting, you know, jumping around. Just relax and watch what God's about to do for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you will never see them again, ever again. The Lord will fight for you and you will hold your peace. Pharaoh thought he had them cornered. He had the Red Sea behind him and his army coming after him. He thought for sure, we got him now. The only person that got it was Pharaoh and his army. As God opened the Red Sea, and they went across the Red Sea in perfect peace. So when Moses said, hold your peace, it meant relax, trust God, use faith. The Lord will handle this for you. And the same thing is true of you as well. In the case of certain death with the Red Sea in front of them and Pharaoh's army behind them, Moses said, hold your peace. Don't panic. This is just another opportunity for God to demonstrate his omnipotence and rid the world of an evil ruler. I encourage you today to hold your peace. Don't panic, regardless of the circumstances. Trust in him. Lean not to your own understanding. It's very simple. Do you love God? Do you? I mean, I hear people tell me that all the time. I love God, really. Do you trust God? Yeah, I trust God, really. Then relax. Enjoy the ride. Remember what the Lord said in Psalm 84:11, for the Lord God is a sun. He is a shield. What? The Lord will give grace and glory, and no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. The only condition for you that God asks of you is to love him and obey him and follow his leadership. Do you love God? You do? Do you obey God? Do you grow daily? Do you stay filled with the Holy Spirit? Do you replicate the life of Christ to those that you meet? Are you so self-centered that you think all you need to do is show up at church? Are you the nod to God crowd? Hello, God. Goodbye, God. See you next Sunday, God. Bless me, God. Have a good day, God. You're never going to have peace with an attitude like that. You're just using church to go through some ritual that has no reality to it. The reality of the Christian life is a wonderful way to live with total peace, total confidence, total trust, and total love in a Heavenly Father that loves you much more than you love him. Remember when Jesus said, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. He loved you before you were even formed. In eternity past, he knew who you were and who you would be. And he still loved you, in spite of what you've done, in spite of what I've done. We don't deserve his love, but he loved us. If we love him, we can see this wonderful life I'm talking about. This wonderful peace and confidence and assurance that I'm talking about. It comes from total trust and the act of faith in your life. Trusting God, putting your trust in him, living by the faith rest drill. Do you know the faith rest drill again? Let me remind you, we have a book that will tell you what it's about called Christian Problem Solving. I'd love to send it to you. It's free. Everything we've got is free. We don't sell anything. We don't hustle people for money. You know that. Simply the Word of God is what this show's about. We teach the Word of God clearly, lucidly for you. And I'm not a pastor, but I want to get you to a good pastor where you can learn God's Word on a daily basis. So I hope you've been listening this morning. If you don't have peace, you should have. You should have a lifestyle of peace and trust and faith. because that's the lifestyle God set out for you today. And that's why you can enjoy your life to the fullest. Let the monkey get off your back, put the monkey on God's back. Let him worry with the detail and circumstances while you cruise through holding your peace. Don't let it go. Put your faith in him. Okay? Well, I hope you're listening. I hope you've learned. I hope you will apply this information. If there's anything else that we can help you with, don't hesitate to contact us, rick@rickhughesministries.org, rick@rickhughesministries.org. So until next week, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Floodline.
Thank you for listening to The Floodline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org. The preceding program was paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries. The following program is paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, stick around. It won't be long, just about 30 minutes. Motivation, inspiration, education, and as we say, no manipulation. That's right, no con games, not trying to raise money. We don't want to sell you something. We just want to give you some information that will help you verify and identify the plan of God for your life. If I can do that, then you can orient and adjust to the plan if you'd like to. That does not mean that you will, but if you want to, you can. You have freedom of choice. Remember, God gave you two ends, one to sit with, one to think with. And success in your life will depend on which one you use. Heads you win, tails you lose. So remember that. The Flatline comes to you every Sunday, compliments of the grace of God. And we study the 10 unique problem-solving devices that make up the flatline in your soul, the forward line of troops. 10 unique problem-solving devices taught by my pastor many years ago to me. And then with his permission, we relay that information to you. So hang in there with me and learn about the flatline and learn what God's done for you in your life, what's available for you, the assets you have. So before we get started this morning, I want to let you know we've signed our new contracts and we now press on into the year 2025. As you know, we have quit broadcasting in areas where there's a little response, but we still continue to air the show in all 50 states as well as in the Philippines. And we also continue to podcast the show on various podcast platforms. And we provide a complete playlist of all shows on our website. You can hear any show on the website. In the coming months, we'll be looking for new areas to play their show in, new cities, new states, so that we can keep growing and keep having a maximum impact across our nation. The Flatline Radio Show is our gift to you, compliments of God's amazing grace provisions. There is a special gift, I say a special gift, God has placed under your tree today. And it would be so sad if you fail to open your gift. In Romans 6:23, the Bible says this, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift," there it is, "the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Did you hear that? The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Under your tree today is a special gift from God, a gift of eternal life. In Ephesians 2:8, the Bible says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." There it is again. The wonderful gift that God has given to you is eternal life through compliments of the Lord Jesus Christ and His work on the cross. In the New Testament Greek, the word gift is charisma, charisma, which is from the root word charis, and it's the Greek equivalent of the word grace. Grace, G-R-A-C-E, in the English, and the Greek is charis, C-H-A-R-I-S. And the word gift is charisma. So God's amazing gift to all members of the human race is given freely simply because He loves us. Isn't that wonderful? In 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So He gives it freely, wanting each one of us to have that gift. When we see that word, and listen as I read it to you again, He's long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. There's the word I want to key in on, repentance. When we see that word repentance, we tend to think there's something we've got to do before we can get the gift of eternal life. But that's not what the word repentance means. That word in the Greek language of the New Testament means to change your mind, not change the way you act. It simply means you have been an unbeliever, as the Bible calls you, and now you become a believer. Paul said it best in Acts 16:30-31. And he brought them out and he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Listen carefully now. And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household." That's the word repent. You've been an unbeliever, you now become a believer. In this incident, Paul and Silas had been in prison for preaching the gospel. And while they were praying, while they were singing, the other prisoners were listening when an earthquake occurred. And it caused all the doors to open and all the chains that bound them to fall off. The Roman jailer knew what would happen to him if his prisoners escaped, so he considered suicide, taking his own life. And he was totally amazed when Paul said, "Do yourself no harm. We are all here." Is it possible that you are currently chained and imprisoned to some particular sin in your life? I want you to know that God's gracious gift to you this morning can break those chains and set you free. Isaiah's message proclaims this in Isaiah 61:1-2. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prisons to those who are bound." So again, are you chained to a particular sin in your life? The gospel will open the prison of that chain and free you. The forgiveness for our sin and the promise of eternal life was motivated by one simple act. It's best expressed by our Lord in John 3:16. God so loved the world. He loved you. He loved me. In spite of who we are, in spite of what we've done, He loves us. And it says He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's wonderful to know that. Maybe no one else loves you, but I assure you that God does. You may be in a situation right now where you're incarcerated and you think no one loves you. No one cares about you. And that may be true in your facility, but I assure you, God knows who you are, He knows where you are, and He loves you dearly, so much so that He sent His only begotten Son to die for you. In spite of the mistakes that we've committed, in spite of the sins we committed, God loves us and has a gift for us today. And this particular gift, the gift of eternal life, is greater than any gift we could ever receive from any individual. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadows of turning. So yes, under your tree this morning is the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. And you have a personal invitation from God to receive your gift today. In John 1:12, the Bible says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. To those who repent, nope, didn't say that. To those who believe in his name, there it is. You've been an unbeliever, you become a believer. Can you believe salvation is that simple? You don't have to repent of your sins and promise God you're never going to sin again and you're going to turn away from your sins and you're so sorry that you did it. I mean, you can say those things, but that's not what saves you. What saves you is the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. He did it already. Do you believe he's the anointed Son of God? Do you believe he died for you? Are you willing to express your faith and tell God the Father that? If you've never received the gift of eternal life, could I ask you to let me help you open your present? How can I do that? I can lead you in a prayer as you ask God to save you. Would you like for me to do that for you? You can pray it along with me right now, just silently or out loud, whatever you want to do. But if you'd like to ask God to save you today, if you've never done that before, if you're not saved, you've never received your gift, then pray these words with me today. Heavenly Father, I believe Jesus is your anointed Son, and that he died on the cross to pay for my sins. I ask you to save me and give me eternal life. Thank you for hearing my prayer. That's a simple prayer you just prayed, a simple act of faith. You told God the Father that you believe Jesus Christ is his anointed Son, and that he paid for your sins. Now, you might think it didn't work since you didn't feel anything. Nothing happened, you said. I didn't feel anything. That's the way I was when I accepted Christ. I didn't feel anything. I simply prayed a prayer with a friend that got on my knees in a home I'd never been to before. And I said, I don't feel anything. He said, it doesn't have to do with feelings. It has to do with fact and faith. Listen to Romans 10:13. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Did you just do that? Did you just call on God to save you? Then this is exactly what the verse says. Whoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to doubt it. The gift of eternal life was given to you, compliments of the grace of God and the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. What a wonderful gift that is. And no one's going to ever take it away from you, I promise you. So would God lie to you? Did you just ask him to save you in that prayer? Heavenly Father, I believe Jesus is your Son. He died on the cross to pay for my sins. I ask you to save me. Would God lie to you about that when the Bible says, whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved? No, he wouldn't lie to you. In 1 John 5:13. These things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that, or in order that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. There's the word believe again. Believe, believe, believe. And then he goes on to say in verse 14 of 1 John 5, this is a confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, is it God's will for me and you to be saved? Absolutely. So if we pray according to his will, he hears us, and we know that he hears us. Whatever we ask, we know we have those petitions that we desired of him. Those verses guarantee you and me as well that God heard your prayer, heard my prayer. Many years ago when I prayed that prayer, God heard my prayer, and he just heard your prayer, regardless of what we did, regardless of how we felt, regardless of physically what takes place. You didn't see any angels. You didn't hear any harps. But you, by faith, asked God to save you. And you told God you were willing to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to what our Lord Jesus Christ said for you. Here's his gift to you. Listen carefully. Now that you're his child, Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. So he's not going to bail out on you when you fail. I mean, I've failed so many times I can't keep up with him, and yet he's never forsaken me. He's never left me. He's never abandoned me. And the same for you. When you ask him to save you, when you committed to God the Father that you believe that Jesus Christ is his anointed Son, he gave you eternal life. He gave you that gift. And the Bible goes on to say in John 10:28-30, I give unto them eternal life, that's the gift, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. So there's your guarantee. No one's going to come take your gift away from you. He will not leave you. He's not going to bail on you, and no one can snatch it away from you. I read it to you. Listen again. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. No one's going to take it away. Not even Satan himself can take it away. You see, by a simple act of faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ through his death, his burial, and thank God for his resurrection, we now have been born again and started a new life. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, the Bible clearly says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So you have a new life today. You were born again. Born again spiritually, not physically. You're the same person physically. You look just alike physically. But internally, you have been born again. Your soul has been born again. Your spirit has been born again. You have a spiritual birthday. See, you have a body. Yes, you have a soul, mentality, volition, emotion, consciousness. But you now have you had a dead human spirit. You were dead to God. You were spiritually dead. When you're born again, you're made spiritually alive. You are now alive spiritually. You're a new person. You're a spiritual being. And God's gift to you does not stop at that. Your salvation today is not the end of the gift, but rather those gifts that he has for you will continue daily for the rest of your life, I promise you. In Matthew 7:11, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, and you do, how much more will your Father who's in heaven give good things to those who ask him? And so that's not the end of the gifts. The gifts are just beginning once you come into the family of God by faith alone in Christ alone. You now have the ability to approach God's throne in prayer. And you now have the ability to request things for yourself and even intercede for others who have needs. In 1 John 5:14, this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Well, you did ask him to save you, and that was his will, and he heard you. And so now you can pray and go right to the throne of God. You don't have to go through a priest. You are a priest. You are a believer priest. You have God the Holy Spirit living inside of you. What a wonderful thing that is. But let me caution you about something. This gift of prayer that God has bestowed upon you, the ability to go straight to his throne, requires you to follow some instructions. You know, all gifts, usually at Christmas, you have to put them together and they come with instructions. But there are some instructions about the gift of prayer. Here are the instructions. Psalm 66:18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And that means that you cannot pray with sin in your life. If you have unconfessed sin in your life, that prayer will not be answered. So you must learn how to deal with your sins, which we teach on the Flat Line as rebound. Problem-solving device number one. When we sin, if we go to God and admit our sin, 1 John 1:9, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to purify us from all wrongdoing. You're going to sin. I didn't think I'd ever sin again after I became a Christian, and it took about one day, and I did. And I learned how to do this. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's what the Christian has to do when we fail. So if you want God to answer your prayer, if you want God to pay attention to your prayer, And you can't go to God with sin in your life because he won't hear it. You have to come to God through the filling of the Holy Spirit. And that's another gift that he's given to you. He's given you the gift of eternal life through Christ Jesus. He's given you the gift of prayer, but it requires you to follow instructions. And he's given you the gift of the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit, who now lives in you. In John 14:26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. The Holy Spirit lives in you. This also requires you to follow some instructions. If you want this work, if you want the Holy Spirit to work in your life, there are instructions to do that. In Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the instructions. So if the Holy Spirit indwells you, he doesn't necessarily fill you. So it's possible this morning, as a Christian, you are indwelled by God the Holy Spirit, yes. But it's possible you are not filled with the Holy Spirit. And what keeps you from being filled with the Holy Spirit? The sins you commit quench the Holy Spirit and grieve the Holy Spirit and have to be confessed. And you say, well, I can't keep up with every sin I've ever done. I know that. Neither can I. Again, the verse says, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, even the ones you don't remember. So, if you're going to have fellowship with God through the Holy Spirit, you must be filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is how you get filled with the Holy Spirit. You are indwelled by the Holy Spirit at salvation. You're sealed by the Holy Spirit at salvation. No one can take you out of your Father's hand. And you're filled by the Holy Spirit. But when you sin, you quench the Spirit. You grieve the Spirit. And you have to reclaim the filling of the Spirit by dealing with that sin, confessing that sin to God. It's like you say, okay, Holy Spirit, move out of the way. I'm going to let my sin nature run the show for a while. Your sin nature is always going to be there. It's always going to be a part of your life until you die, until you get out of this earthly body and get a new body, a resurrection body. It won't have a sin nature. Thank goodness for that. But the battle is always going to be there. Paul said it best when he said, I don't understand myself at all because I keep doing the things I don't want to do in Romans 7:15. Yes, that's the sin nature. And so the gift of the Holy Spirit requires us to be filled with the Holy Spirit so we can access his power. And the benefits of being filled with the Holy Spirit are the gift of prayer is operational. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you can pray till you're blue in the face and there's not going to be any response. There's not going to be any answer because you quenched and grieved the Holy Spirit. And Romans 7 says the Holy Spirit intercedes with us. And if he's not interceding for you, then God the Father is not hearing that. So you have the gift of prayer. What a wonderful gift. The gift of the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit with instructions. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. With prayer, then with instructions. Don't do it with sin in your life. Another wonderful gift from God that he's given to us is a canon of scripture called the Bible. God gave us a Bible, recorded instructions on how to navigate our way through the devil's world. We have a Bible, and that Bible gives us instructions how to navigate our way through the devil's world. In 2 Timothy 3:15, and that from childhood you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. That's Paul writing to Timothy, telling him that, what's he telling him? The Holy Scriptures will help you navigate through life. And this is for you too. I don't know if you have a Bible, but you need a Bible because it is God's gift to you. It is recorded word of God to you. The canon of Scripture is yours. And all your instructions are there, how to navigate your way through the devil's world. In Hebrews 4:12, it goes on to say, the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. What does it say? The Word of God is what? Living and powerful. The Bible says the Word of God will not pass away, it will live forever. So your Bible is the Word of God to you. This is how you hear God speaking to you. This is how you navigate yourself through the devil's world, by reading and studying the Scriptures and learning the Scriptures. So understand that. The Bible is not a novel. It's a textbook. And I warn you to beware of those people who distort the Bible for their own advantage, because they're out there by the thousands. I've never been so nauseated in my life looking at social media and seeing people try to communicate the Word of God, and it's not even, they don't do it accurately. They come up with the goofiest, craziest, weirdest stuff you've ever seen in your life. The Bible is not a novel. I'm glad you read it through, but it's a textbook. It's not designed for you to teach yourself. It's designed to be taught to you by someone who has a gift, a pastor teacher. In Revelation 22:18, "For I testify to everyone who hears these words of the prophecy of this book." John said, "If anyone adds to any of these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part out of the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in the book." So you better be careful. Don't distort the Word of God. See, that's the greatest challenge I face and the greatest challenge any preacher faces, is to get it accurate, to get it correct, not misrepresent God. It's terrible to misrepresent God. That's why the Bible says to the preacher, "Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the Scriptures." If you can rightly divide it, you can wrongly divide it. And it's all grace. It's all the free gift of God under the tree this morning, the gift of eternal life. But you don't have to repent to get it. You have to believe to get it. You have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. I read you the scripture verses. God so loved the world so that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You won't find that repent stuff around those times when the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking to Nicodemus. You got to repent of all of your sins, Nicodemus. That's not true. You may change your mind about your sins. Hopefully you will. Once you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a new way to live. There's the filling of the Holy Spirit. You don't have to let the sin nature contaminate you and contain you and condemn you any longer. You now have a new way to live. And that's through the power of the Word of God that helps you navigate through the devil's world. That's through the gift of prayer that God has given you so that you can go directly to His throne and talk to Him directly yourself. You don't have to let someone talk to Him for you. And through the gift of the Scriptures, the Holy Spirit, the Scriptures, and prayer. Three wonderful gifts that God's given to you. And they're yours. Yours to you. So, it's a wonderful time this time of year, Christmas. We all enjoy getting gifts, and we enjoy giving gifts. But the greatest gift of all is the gift of eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. I read it to you one more time. "For the wages of sin is death," Romans 6:23. "But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." In Ephesians 2:8, "For by grace are you saved through faith. It's a gift of God, not of works, as someone would boast about it." So have you opened your present? Have you received your gift? If not, I hope you will. I led you in prayer this morning. If you prayed with me and you asked God to save you, get in touch with me. Go to my website, rickhughesministries.org, rickhughesministries.org, and let me know. Send me a note. Write me a letter. Tell me, I prayed with you, because I want to send you a book that will help you. It's called A Crash Course in Christianity, and it will explain exactly what happened to you. I thank you for listening to me this morning. I hope you will open that gift that I told you about, and I hope you will receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Until next week, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org. The preceding program was paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta.